I invite you to stand for the reading of the gospel. It is John, the 15th chapter, verses 26 through 27, and chapter 16, verse 4b through 15. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify, because you have been with me from the beginning. I did not say these things to you from the beginning, because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, it's an amazing story. But to understand it, we have to go back. At least as far back as the day that Jesus rode the donkey into Jerusalem. If the cheering and the chants are any indication, the majority of people on that day understood what Jesus was saying. He was the Messiah. The promises of God were about to come true. It was a day that the people had waited for so long. They'd waited for it through wars and persecution. They waited for it during an exile they thought would never end. But now, there he was. God's chosen son. But nothing happened. One day melted into another and nothing happened. Jesus continued to debate with the Pharisees, but the Pharisees weren't the problem. They were a pain, but the Romans, they were the problem. They were the ones. And the Messiah was supposed to come and overtake them, and Israel was supposed to rise to the throne, and they were supposed to be the rulers of the world, and everyone was going to bow down to them, and they weren't going to be persecuted anymore, and Jesus was doing nothing. He was doing nothing. And so, one day melted into another, and frustrations raised, and in only a matter of a few days, the whole situation just blew up, and Jesus found himself hanging on a cross. And the very people who had followed him into Jerusalem that day were standing with the centurions and the others, thinking, if you are the Messiah, then get off the cross and do something. That was bad enough. But what made the situation even worse was the fact that the only ones who were there from the group that followed Jesus were the women and John. The rest of them had run like scared rabbits when the centurions were leading Jesus out of the garden. They were afraid. Not so much for their friend, but for themselves. That's a hard thing to come to grips with, you know. When you've lost your best friend, and you know you did nothing to save him, you did nothing to support him. And the disciples were just starting to get their heads around everything that had happened. They had just started to mourn the death of Jesus when who appeared in front of them? Anything but dead? It was Jesus. I mean, this thing was crazy. And they were excited. And they promised themselves that everything that happened before would never happen again. But you know, you can't go through what Jesus went through and not be changed. And they noticed little differences about him. He never went to the temple. He never went out among crowds anymore to teach them with stories and to perform miracles. He didn't even stay in the same place as the disciples. And while they wondered, they knew it was okay. After all, he'd been through a lot. And so they were content when he came to them and he taught them and he showed them many signs. If this was as good as it was going to get, it was better than nothing. And then one day, he asked them to come and follow him. And he led them up on top of a mountain. And as he was speaking to them, he raised his hands. And a cloud descended upon him. And as they watched, he ascended into heaven. And they knew. They finally understood what he had been trying to tell them. He was gone. He wasn't coming back. And you know, you can only stand on a mountain so long, and you can only look up so long. Maybe it was the angels. Maybe one of them finally just simply remembered. One of the last things Jesus had said to them was, "Go to Jerusalem and wait." And so they went. They waited, and they waited, and they waited. But nothing happened. Finally, it was the day of Pentecost. A day when all good Jews would gather together and celebrate the harvest. And the disciples and the others, they didn't know what to do. And so they gathered together in a house. And they were going to observe the rituals. And as they began, suddenly, a sound from heaven like the howling of a fierce wind filled the entire house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be individual flames of fire alighting on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to speak. They began to speak. The very people who had been strangely silent, the ones who had spent 3 years letting Jesus say everything for them, and when they did try to say something, it just came out all wrong. The very people who never knew quite what to do, on the day of Pentecost, the flames came, the wind blew, and they spoke. And what they spoke was not idle chatter and friendly banter. They spoke, and the entire world heard the good news. According to the Reverend Dr. Tom Long, in the midst of the fire and the smoke, the real miracle of Pentecost was that the church finally found its voice. Those who were anointed by the Holy Spirit discovered they now had the power to address all of the brokenness and tragedy of the world. They were able to speak in such a way that the crowds of people that gathered around them began to understand that death was not as strong as life itself, that hope is deeper than despair. The words they spoke were not just empty promises. They were so powerful that lives were changed. They spoke on the day of Pentecost, and the scriptures say thousands of people came to the faith. They spoke, and a nation was changed. They spoke, and the world came to believe. But that was then, and now is now, right? I mean, we live in a world that just doesn't respond well to street corner evangelism. If we stood out on the corner and began to speak, the only response we would probably get would be to be jeered at and ridiculed, and we're not going there. And so we'll just keep our faith to ourselves. And we'll let other people keep the faith to themselves. And if they want to know something, they can ask us. And we can tell them where we go to church. And if they're that curious, they can come, and maybe the pastor will give a good sermon that day. And I understand. And I respect the rights of others to believe in their own way. But I can't help but wonder, if we continue to remain spot silent, if we refuse to speak, if people of faith don't reach out into the world with words of hope, who will tell the lost and the lonely, the hurting and the hopeless, that through the power of the Holy Spirit and the love of a living Lord, Life is stronger than death. Hope is deeper than despair. According to Reverend Long, you remember Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, don't you? And she was the woman who wrote the leading book on death and dying. Well, Dr. Long says that when she was writing that book, part of her research involved interviewing terminal patients who were in the hospital. Her job was to attempt to discover what they were feeling and what they were thinking. And as she went from room to room, she began to notice a remarkable thing. She would enter a room and a patient would be calm and composed. They would be at peace. You could tell that there was no fear in them at all. And as she began to notice this, what the other thing she noticed was that those patients, they always had their room cleaned by the same person in housekeeping. Now, she didn't know how the two fit together, but she was convinced that they did. One day, she was in the hall, and she happened to see the housekeeper. And she walked up to her, and she said, "What are you doing to my patients?" Now, the housekeeper knew who Dr. Ross was, and she immediately assumed she was in trouble. And so she said, "Honestly, I'm not doing anything. I'm just going in there, and I'm doing my job. I'm not doing anything to them." And Dr. Ross said, No, you don't understand. You're not in trouble. But I've noticed that after you have been in their rooms, they're calm. They seem at peace. And so I repeat my question. What are you doing to them? "I just talked to them," came the reply. "I had two babies of my own die in my lap. But God never abandoned me. And I tell them that. I tell them that they're not alone, that God is with them, and they don't have to be afraid." Oh, Christians, don't you understand? We don't have to stand on street corners. We don't have to thump Bibles. We don't have to be right. All we have to do is be like that housekeeper. All we have to do is speak the truth as the Holy Spirit gives us the wisdom. A word spoken in faith is unlike any other word. It can and it will change lives. But it has to be spoken in faith and in love. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak. Are you ready to speak up? To God be the glory. And all God's children say, Amen. Amen.